seeking the blessings of all assembled worshippers. I'd like to speak something from Srimad Bhagavatam for my own purification. So here the Dhruva Maharaj attained his perfection. His perfection is that seeing the Lord face to face. So much austerity, so much tapasya is in such a way that the Lord will want to see you. So here we can see Dhruva Maharaj by following... Microphone is not on. Looks like the battery is flat. It's off. It's off. Battery is there?
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Plus, that's a somewhat.
Need to lock, right? Sure.
Press again?
So, you know. Acting in such a way that the Supreme Lord wants to see you. So, here seeing the Supreme Lord, Dhruva Maharaj manifests some of his ecstasy. The Supreme Lord is there. We take darshan, but you know, especially I don't get any ecstasy seeing the Supreme Lord. If you see Dhruva Maharaj in ecstasy, looking upon the Lord as if he were drinking the Lord with his eyes, then kissing the lotus feet of the Lord with his mouth and embracing the Lord with his arms. You know, first is like kissing, sorry, eyes, seeing with the eyes, then kissing the lotus feet and embracing the Lord with his arms. It's somewhat, you know, very resembled with some other pastime also in Srimad Bhagavatam. Especially as if drinking the Lord with his eyes. So these are basically the ecstatic symptoms of gopis we see in 10th canto, that when Krishna finished, you know, his Vrindavan Leela and went to Mathura. So his visit to Mathura is to, as an invitation from Kamsa. So he was going to Mathura. Akrura, he was taking Krishna to Mathura. And Krishna was there, you know, Kuvelya Pida. Yeah. So what did Krishna do with that elephant?
He killed him.
He killed him, yeah.
He went around the elephant.
Yeah.
And grabbed his leg.
Grabbed his...
Spun him through away.
Melway?
Threw away.
Yeah, threw away. So he caught this tail. So Krishna used to play like this. When he was young, he used to catch the tail of the calf. And the calf used to run. And then Krishna used to do sand surfing with that thing. So similarly, when he grown up, this Kuvelya Pida, Krishna caught the tail, and then the elephant was running, and then Krishna used to run in between the legs, and then he broke his tusk, and then killed with it. So he was carrying one tusk, and then Balramji was carrying another tusk, and they were entering. So Krishna... Different people saw Krishna in different way. So the ladies in Mathura, they are seeing the Krishna. So Krishna was, you know, with his perspiration and some of the dots from killing the elephant, some blood dots, looked like the, you know, decoration in his face. Like gopi dots, you see, right? Like that. So it's like a decoration in the face. And seeing that, so the Mathura lady is saying that, how fortunate these gopis. Because seeing Krishna, they actually drinking the beauty of Krishna with their eyes. That is the perfection of the eyes. The perfection of the eyes is that seeing the beauty of Krishna and drinking. So the eyes is such a complicated organ, if you really see. That itself proves there is a creator, because it's very complicated how it sees, and then, you know, it sends a image and then it gets processed. So there was one pastime regarding this in Ramanujacharya's time. So during Ramanujacharya time, Ramanujacharya and his disciples are participating in a procession of Lord Ranganath. So Lord Ranganath was taken in a palanquin and he was going out in a procession. So that time, you know, procession means it's a very elaborate setup. There was Brahmana singing, there were horses, there were elephants, there were dancers. They are like, you know, full like people performing arts and things for the pleasure of the Lord. And the Lord is going to the procession. There was a strange thing that the disciple noticed, that there was one person. His name was Dhanurdas. He was a great wrestler. He has a good body. This person was totally oblivious of what's happening in the place, because he was carrying an umbrella on top of a lady and fanning her and just constantly looking her and walking with her in the midst of the big procession. So the disciple saw this. And then Ramanuja also saw, then the disciple said, see what's happening. Then Ramanujacharya said, okay, go and speak to him. So they went and told this person, excuse me sir, what is, you know, your big procession is happening, what are you doing? Then the person said, see, actually the beauty of this lady is so captivating, I can't take my eyes out of her. It's such a beauty. I'm just beholding her with my eyes. Then Ramanujacharya said, go tell him, call him. Say he was come, and then Ramanujacharya asked, and then he said this. Then Ramanujacharya said, okay, you come tomorrow. You come tomorrow, a particular time, to Lord Ranganath temple, and I will show you something, then you can see which is the beauty. So he said, okay, I'll come tomorrow. Then he came tomorrow to the temple. So there Ramanujacharya took him to the altar of Lord Ranganath. So then he said, you see with your eyes Lord Ranganath now. Then you'll understand what is the beauty is. So those days there is no light like this. There is no like, you know, modern time we have a lot of lights and settings and a small, you know, temple. So the only light is the Aarti lamp. That's the only light in that years. So what the pujari was saying, the aarti, and then he is showing the lamp from his lotus feet to the face gradually. So Ramanujacharya said, you see the face of the Lord. So as the pujari was moving the lamp from the lotus feet to the face, then when he took the lamp to this face, then Dhanurdas, seeing the beauty of Lord Ranganath, his heart melted. And he, you know, you could be able to relate how beauty Lord Ranganath is with his, all his ornaments and lotus eyes. Then he surrendered to Ramanujacharya. So this is the beauty of Krishna. Even the beauty is such that when the gopis are seeing Krishna, they are not happy. They are not happy because they said that, you know, we have only two eyes. These two eyes are not enough, you know, sufficient enough to drink the nectar of Krishna. And then they were started criticizing Lord Brahma. You know, how can he create only two eyes? Because he is like incompetent to do his service. He said, okay, if there is someone having a face to see Krishna, let them have two eyes. So like, you know, normal, you know, usual creators, creation means, let there be light. Let there be this. So similar in that way, he has said, let there be two eyes. If we would have, so one of the gopis saying, if you would have come and asked me at my advice, I would have told at least millions of eyes is required to see Krishna. So first of all, he doesn't know what he is to create and where to place them. So he is not competent. And top of that, he gave two eyes, but then he gave the eyelid also. First of all, he don't know how much to give, and then whatever he gave, that also defect. What kind of creator he is? And they go further. We know why it is like this, because he is kind of, you know, dry manufacturer. Dry manufacturer means because he has done severe austerity, he doesn't know. He doesn't have the taste. So this is a gopis. They are having their own complaint about the creation of eyes. Of course, this is very ecstatic and higher, you know, topmost devotees. So we should not be, you know, imitating them and criticizing Brahma. Because Brahma is also our guru. So without the mercy of guru, one cannot see Krishna. So we should have utmost and top reverence to Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, in terms of their greatest devotees. But the gopis are in different platform. They are very devotees in ecstatic, showing ecstatic symptoms. So this is the complaint, because their complaint is that their eyes is not enough. Because why? Krishna's form is like the ocean of nectar. Krishna's form is like the ocean of nectar. And particularly his face is like the scenario where the full moon is above the ocean. So we see a calm ocean, and you see a full moon which is just above the ocean. So that is compared to the face of Krishna. And the form is like the ocean of nectar. And the most beauty is when the light of that moon getting reflected on the ocean. That is compared to the smile of Krishna. So Krishna's beauty is compared to the full moon. Actually, you know, there was another description that Krishna's beauty is like the two cheeks are like the two full moons, and his forehead like is half moon, only moon. And that is the beauty of Krishna. The most beautiful thing in Brahmana, the purport Prabhupada writes, there are two things which is the most beautiful creation in this world. One is the full moon, and another one is the blue lotus. These two are the most beautiful thing. So Krishna is compared to that full moon which is reflecting. And this smile is the most attractive feature, and that from that smile and from his lips comes the whirlwind. You see the whirlwind. And the flickering mind and the minds of the gopis are like the dry grass and the straw. So by chance, if the dry grass and straw got in the whirlwind, then they cannot get up. They will be eternally attached to the lotus feet of Krishna. So the vibration which is coming from the smile, which is from the lips of Krishna, is like a bird. That bird creates a nest in the ears of gopis. And that nest will block all other vibration except the vibration of the flute. Then they can't even respond to any question which are asked by their husband or son or whoever it may be. They can't even hear anything and can't even respond, and they are madly attracted to the flute of Krishna. This is the beautiful form of Krishna. Now the Krishna eyes also described. We know the beautiful form of Krishna, his curly hair, his eyebrows, his eyes, cheeks. So Krishna eyes is like the eyebrow of Krishna is like the bow. And eyes of Krishna is like the arrows. It is also said, if one is having difficulty to control the sex desire, then he can meditate on the eyebrows of Krishna. Because the eyebrow is like the bow and the eyes is like the arrows. And Krishna has the string for this bow running between these two ears. So when Krishna is actually looking at the devotees, the sidelong glance means he is shooting that arrow and piercing the heart of the devotees. That is the eyes of Krishna. So he has a very powerful eyes. So that's why Krishna, another name is also called Madan Mohan. Because the arrows of the Cupid are most powerful in this material world. No one can spare that arrow. Cupid has five powerful arrows. What are they? Taste, smell, touch, hear, and speed. Yeah? Voice. These are the five arrows by which it will attack, it will pierce our heart. So that kind of personality who can disturb, agitate the heart of the living entities, his heart and mind get agitated when he see Krishna. And of course Krishna get agitated and captivated when he see Srimati Radharani, who is a personification of devotional service. So that kind of eyes Krishna this. So here we see, and also Prabhupada in the Purport talks about different kinds of transcendental ecstasy in the body. So if you, there is one chapter in Nectar of Devotion talks about the ecstasy. So ecstasy, like it's mentioned, dancing, rolling on the ground, singing very loudly, stretching the body, crying loudly, yawning, breathing very heavily, neglecting the presence of others, ruling, stretching the body, drooling, yawning, belching. So this is what the most it's that's why there's certain activities, certain things remind us that this material world is the perfected reflection of the perfect world. So what is lowest is the what is highest there. Because these activities we perform is considered as mostly in ignorance. Someone is drooling, yawning. But these are all ecstasy symptom of the advanced devotees. So if we try to imitate, they'll go take bath and come. Why? Because this, most are exhibited by the gopis, for example, dancing. When the flute sound heard by Lord Shiva, he goes mad and he started to dance. Or rolling in the ground like Akrura, singing very loudly by the Narada Muni and gopis. Stretching the body, sometimes Narada Muni traveling all over the universe, out of ecstasy, he's stretching and shouting. Crying loudly, yawning, even drooling. Drooling will happen is by Narada Muni. So sometime when he sings the holy name of Krishna, he gets struck by the wonder and his mouth is open. So when the mouth is open, he gets drool. This is the Narada Muni. So these are the symptoms. And these symptoms are perfectly demonstrated by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. All the symptoms, all the ecstatic symptoms of whatever we see, whatever we read, whatever we hear, all are exhibited by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Mahaprabhu is the epitome of all the devotional symptoms. It is very difficult to understand from external perspective. Because these symptoms are not something which appears outside. These ecstatic symptoms are the manifestation of deep internal connection with Krishna. It is like a volcano. You don't see volcano just erupting like outside. You only see that's the final output, that it's coming out. But internally, something is happening inside the mountain, that larva formation, that heat generation, and it's like, boiling, 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 boiling. And then you see one fine day, like we see in TV or somewhere, that it's, erupting. So eruption means there's something happened inside for a long time. So this ecstatic symptom manifests only at the stage of prema, bhava, or very, very advanced devotees, because they have followed the rules and regulation and developed their heart and developed their internal growth of bhakti for so long time. And that manifests. That's why, this like ecstatic symptoms or, the ecstasy which is very involve the greatest devotees with Krishna, because even though we may read, but it cannot generate any transformation in the heart of the devotee. Because it is only as a story we see. We don't able to appreciate the the undergoing of the devotees to see Krishna, to meet Krishna, to be with Krishna. So this is very important. And in our case, here you see, Dhruva Maharaj experiencing the ecstasy by just following the instruction of spiritual master. That's why Narada Muni comes first before Krishna comes first. So one has to seek the spiritual master, serve him, and render service and follow the instruction. Time will come. Spiritual master, imagine if he is the person who is putting the files before Krishna. He is our representative of God, right? Yasya Prasada Bhagavad Prasada. He is like the embassy through which we can go to the spiritual world. And he will give, you know, suppose if he is giving the report to Krishna, of course if we want to get our file on the top, we should please our spiritual masters. Spiritual masters means all. Shiksha, Diksha, whoever. And this is very important. Because that's a very thankless job. Someone is correcting, someone giving instruction means it's a real help. Because someone is helping us and in correcting us means they are gambling with the relationship. It's a bigger step, right? Because at the cost of one's relationship, one is happy to help that person. So that's a real help one can do in Krishna consciousness. And we should be thankful to that. We should not be upset that this person is speaking me on, or this person is spotlight and they correct me. I've seen that I've progressed in my devotional service, rather not decreased in devotional service. Because pointing out that whatever anathas, whatever we have outcome, a shortcoming, it helps us in bhakti because we can analyze, you know, we can correct it. So like for example, we do chanting, we do devotional service. What does it do? It actually brings out all your bad things out in front of you. In order to find the solution, you need to understand the problem. And if you can able to understand the problem fast, then it's easy for you to find the solution. So what is my problem in my heart if we can able these symptoms? So there was one, usually don't leave Mahaprabhu, if at all, anyway, you know, like Mahaprabhu with Swarup Damodar, Ramananda Rai, great personalities, day and night discussing the pastimes of Krishna. So sometimes if Mahaprabhu alone, the house, the three door, so they lock all the three doors. Not only that, there will be a person standing outside the door. His name is Govinda. Because Mahaprabhu, when in his ecstasy, he escaped the house and no one knows where he is, and the devotees are worried and they have to find Mahaprabhu where he is. So to avoid that, they lock. But even having locked, even having a guard outside, even having a three walls which is built across the house, Mahaprabhu disappeared. Because of his ecstasy, in night he thinks, you know, Krishna's flute, he can hear Krishna's flute and then he escaped. So one time like that happened, that Mahaprabhu was missing. So they could, Govinda was standing outside, he couldn't hear anything. What's happening in the room? Nothing is happening, no sound is coming. So he called the Swarup Damodar, they came. They opened the house, Mahaprabhu was not there. Then they started finding, you know, searching, where is Mahaprabhu, like that with the torch and everything. And they found Mahaprabhu in the cow shed with his, you know, his arms, limbs are loosened, his body is compressed, all the ecstatic symptoms they can see. And all the cows are nearby and sniffing Mahaprabhu. They are not going away. Then the devotee is able to, you know, not bring Mahaprabhu in conscious, they got him back to home. So then they loudly chanted Hare Krishna mantra to bring back Mahaprabhu in conscious state. Then Mahaprabhu came back and then he was worried. Actually you brought me here, I was meditating on Krishna. So he was in the mood of gopis. Mahaprabhu is none other than Sri Mati Radharani, because who want to, you know, Krishna wants to know the mood of his devotees, assume the form of Sri Mati Radharani. That's why the complexion, you can see golden complexion. So he was disturbed by the flute of Krishna. This is the problem. There, you know, we also do meditation. We also do chanting. And the gopis are also chanting and meditation. But there is a gulf of difference. We want to chant, we want to meditate, so that sometime or other, some or other, we remember Krishna. There is no question of separation if there is no remembrance. So we are some or other want to remember Krishna. And the gopis and the advanced devotees in Vrindavan, they are also meditating so that some or other they take Krishna out of their mind. Because why? Because the thought of Krishna is disturbing their household activities or normal activities. This is the difference. So Mahaprabhu, you know, so so he want, you know, he is saying this description, glorification of Krishna is actually, you know, creating disturbance. And I want to forget. But the problem is that I want to forget the person, but that person is there in my heart. How can I forget? This is the problem. So, the problem for, you know, us is even though we stand in front of Krishna, personally speaking to me, that seeing the Krishna face to face and chanting Hare Krishna, but the problem is there is nothing in the heart. Externally, we are seeing, we are hearing, but not hearing, not seeing. The mind here, only Krishna, because their mind and heart is always connected with Krishna. What is the problem of gopis? Gopis, wherever they see Krishna. Whatever they hear only flute of Krishna. Because why? Because their internal connection is already established and that's what replicating outside. So right now, we are feeding our senses and externally doing devotional service, but we don't have to worry. Slowly, time will come, we can internalize the connection of spiritual, you know, Krishna consciousness. So I was reading in this connection, I'll tell you one point. I was reading in Bhagavad Gita. So in that one purport, Prabhupada writes that if one is not very advanced, he should not accept renounce order of life. But master, he can able to come to that stage. So Prabhupada is writing. So I was thinking this applies to even Krishna consciousness as well. Because coming into Krishna consciousness may not be proper knowledge or proper purpose why we come to Krishna consciousness. Could be 100 of purpose and some or other we came. Okay, no problem. That is not a problem. Now, by following the instruction which is given in the, you know, Guru, Sadhu and Shastra, we can able to get to that stage, what is the purpose of Krishna consciousness. So that is what important. How we came, may be tricked. Usually it's a trick. It's not like no one tell, you know, if you come, you'll be like unpaid servant, maid servant of Krishna. And it's like, this is the goal of like, you know, if you tell, you'll be a servant, you know. Servant? I came for master degree, you know. You mean I'm a servant? No, yeah, you're a servant. So that is not a, usually, you know, we preach, we, you know, give food, we prasadam, nice kirtan, nice class. And they slowly take a process of devotional service. Okay, fine, take it. But then stage come, you know, look, what am I doing here? Okay, you don't know, we'll tell you what you have to do. So then slowly that process, we able to analyze, okay, fine, we came. So just by following the instruction which is given, then slowly we can able to get to that stage, what is the real goal of Krishna consciousness. So with that, I'll end here and see if any correction and any comments or question. Yes, Madhuri.
Thank you, such a nice class.
Thank you.
Your examples of ecstatic symptoms.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, I was about to tell that. So it's not, I just read yesterday and I'm repeating here. This is from Antya Leela, chapter 17, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastime, going into ecstasy. And then Nectar of Devotion, chapter 27, ecstatic symptom of, symptoms of ecstatic love. That's the chapter name. So in that, all the ecstatic symptoms and the devotees who perform these ecstatic symptoms are given. And then the Mahaprabhu pastime is from Antya Leela. So I'm just repeating. There's a big disclaimer. I'm not speaking out of it.
I have a few more questions that I'll ask. Let's see if anyone... Can you explain what is the meaning of the phrase, when I was reading the translation, I wasn't just thinking of the physical meaning, that he wasn't actually doing that, it was as if he was doing that. But I was thinking that we can't actually do that with our senses. Can you comment on this? With this material world, we cannot see Krishna.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, as I started with that only, like, we come in front of Radha Vallabha or Gaurnitha, we see, but actually we don't see. Because seeing requires certain knowledge. We say, sometimes we say, seeing through Krishna, you know, scriptures. So, if we have that knowledge, then we can see. But the process is that we engage the senses in the service of Krishna so that the senses get spiritualized. And personally, I also I'm not seeing Krishna yet. So it's a higher stage that Dhruva Maharaj is seeing. No, we'll see if anyone has any comment on this, because
please,
if anyone wants to add in. Yes, Mataji.
So in chapter 18 of the devotion,
yeah,
there is the character of one in ecstatic love, that he is always anxious to utilize his time in devotion, so it's reserved, persevering, detached. So there are many actual symptoms that we need to develop.
Yeah. Yeah, that's one thing, that how one can know one is senior or advanced. Advancing means they will not waste time. And to get to that characteristics and symptom, first there are many other characteristics and symptoms are mentioned in Bhagavad Gita. So like there's 16 chapters, and sannyas, grahapras, grahastha, and vanapras, so many characteristics are given, which are much easier to work on rather, you know, the advance, the symptoms and characteristics of a ecstatic. Because with there you see, you know, like charity, fearlessness, or cultivation of knowledge, you know, studying of scriptures and I guess that is you know much easier to develop that, because that quality, the quality you get by associating with particular nature, or the particular modes of material nature. So there is a goodness and passion and ignorance. So at least we try to cultivate the qualities which we are from the goodness, then it's like a springboard to go to the Suddha Sattva. So that's why, you know, in the modes of material nature, in the chapters of in the Bhagavad Gita, we can see that one should aim to come to the platform of goodness. And then we can see in Bhagavad Gita, so what are the qualities which is mentioned in the mode of goodness? So let us put in practice that. Then by following, by trying to be in that mode, I guess, you know, it can be easy to develop the symptoms and characteristics of devotional service. And that is, that's what I think we follow that Vaidhi path, then we can come to the Raganuga stage. Is that okay?
That's great. That was a beautiful song. Rather than the sentiment.
Yeah.
To hear what practically.
Yeah, practical. Because that sentiment, everything, you know, we see that, you know, emotionally people crying and everything, but then what is there inside is maybe a halo, or maybe some other sentiment, maybe, you know, like they may be, you know, like the, you know, my son is liking the flute, and when I see Krishna, I remember my son, I crying, you know, which is completely out of the spiritual knowledge, you know. So that's why I said that outside manifestation comes when we have the internal connection. That comes when we have a guidance of Guru, Sadhu and Shastra, and then read the scripture in a proper guidance. Then we can develop that external symptoms. Is it? Some or other, you know, there's Tattva and Rasa. I like Rasa part, but you know, Tattva I may not be, I don't know, you know. So, hope it's that.
Thank you.
Yeah, last.
So, Dhruva had the body, Dhruva had material body. So, I heard that in the class that Mataji said, if one has material body, they cannot see the Lord. So then Dhruva also had material body. So how did he see the Lord?
So Arjuna also said, so Dhruva Maharaj also, he was standing in the forest meditating to see the Lord. Then next verse you'll see. So before that, what happened? Dhruva Maharaj was meditating the Lord in the heart. And then he manifested. Then the Lord touches him with his conch shell on his head, like that. Yeah. Then he able to, you know, speak of the Lord. So the Lord gives you the vision. Then you can see. So you pray to Krishna, and one day Krishna will give you the spiritual vision. Then you can see Krishna. So you don't have to worry. Okay? What happened? You will also get. Is that your question? Yeah, tell. He's not a normal soul, yeah. That's why he can able to perform austerity. Why Dhruva Maharaj, what is the purpose of going to the forest? Why, what he wants? Dhruva Maharaj, what he wants? And then what he is doing? He wants to work hard to get his goal. You see here, everyone, they have their goal and they work hard to get the goal. So, in order to get the kingdom, someone told, you need to go to see Krishna. So, he wants to work hard for that. So, then the process involves all these things. But he wants a material goal, then someone preached to him. Who preached to Dhruva Maharaj? Narada Muni came and preached. Was you are slacking, working very hard for material goal, that is not good for you. You do. Okay? Then, okay, that's all right. If I do leave you, then you will be upset. Tell me.
In Bhagavad Gita, it's mentioned we should be equal in happiness and distress. So, everyone wants to get happiness. So, why do we have to be equal both in happiness and distress?
This Bhagavad Gita also says happiness and distress are like the seasons. It comes and goes. So, one should learn to tolerate. So, everyone working for happiness, they don't know that happiness and distress are the quota which is already given. So, we don't work for problems and distress, but it comes. Similarly, one don't have to make endeavor for material happiness because it will come, like the season. So, everyone has their quota. So, that way, you don't have to be very attached to only happiness and distress. You just have to tolerate because it will come as its own, like the season. Okay? Kandra Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gaur Premanande.